You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalata.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 49 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, entering a joke that Matt said immediately before we started recording, and I'm now going to steal Grossman GPT part two. I think you said actually Grossman GPT two, which I liked better, but after the horrifying scenes in the last chapter, Grossman, or the narrator, goes on to talk a little bit about what human freedom is within the context of this book, and perhaps in life too, if you buy the argumentation.
Yeah, that's why I hid behind the recording and didn't say it on air.
Yeah.
Just no shame. We're straightforward.
That's what I'm here for. Matt, you know, that's why you're in academia and I'm in news. You're there to be like, well, let's get really specific about this. And I'm here for, let me give you the most attention-grabbing headline I can give you for this.
Right up front. Right up front. Right. Yep.
Well, you got to lead at the punchiest part. You got to find the lead. Anyway, is there anywhere that you'd like to start?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very long chapter. It's half, three-quarter page, maybe. And what I was kind of honing in on when I was reading this is what was so interesting is that Grossman's depiction of death is not necessarily death, per se. At least that's not what he's concerned with here. This line, he says, life is freedom and dying is a gradual denial. Life is freedom, and dying is a gradual denial of freedom. Consciousness first weakens and then disappears. The life processes, respiration, the metabolism, the circulation continue for some time, but an irrevocable move has been made towards slavery. Consciousness, the flame of freedom, has died out. And you can see where he is talking about some literal death and the biological processes and whatnot, but I just thought that this idea that dying being the gradual denial of freedom is so kind of interesting. And I think, again, gets to the core of the book of what he's kind of getting at, which is to say that all of these awful totalitarian, constricting, oppressive systems that are acting on the characters in the book, they are, you know, essentially killing them in one way or another. Of course, we have the very, very direct killing that the Nazis are doing, but there is also this other metaphorical death, which is the denial of freedom, which is gradually happening under pretty much every system that's depicted in this book. And it's a slow, gradual stripping away of what it means to be a person. And I think that's what Grossman is really concerned about. And he's really concerned, I think, at a time where we maybe hadn't quite 100% grasped what this meant. I think that probably around the time he was writing this, we were still kind of like, ooh, communists are scary. That was kind of our level of analysis. I'm not sure we had gotten all the way on, like, you know, quite yet what it means to be living under totalitarian systems and what that means for our individual freedoms. And some people are writing around this time, and it's, you know, of course, it's starting to become more of a popular idea, but I still think that we have a lot to learn, especially in our current era.
I think, frankly, I think, like, you just kind of nailed the chapter perfectly. It's a short one. I think the point is, yeah, but yeah, it's when a tree falls in the forest, if no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? No, Grossman says. There's no one there with the rich inner life to discern that from all the other noises. So I feel like I frankly don't have anything to add to that.
That's a good point, though, because this is something, too, that I think is, I took from this chapter, which is the end of it, where Grossman says, "The reflection of the universe in someone's consciousness is the foundation of his or her power, but life only becomes happiness, is only endowed with freedom and meaning when someone exists as a whole world that has never been repeated in all eternity. Only then can they experience the joy and freedom and kindness, finding in others what they have already found in themselves." And so this, the fullest expression of what it means to really be human and free, is essentially finding that in someone else. And that's, I think, what is lost and deprived from a lot of our characters, is this ability to really find it in someone else. Because you can think to any number of conversations that our characters have been having with each other, and the moment, especially in, let's say, take the Soviet society, for instance, that any number of people just stop short of saying what they really want to say. They stop short of showing each other really who they are, for better or worse. They're not able to find that semblance of freedom, that semblance of uniqueness in each other. And so it yields a very stagnant society, not just economically or politically, but just interpersonally, right? That's why it's not free, is people aren't allowed to do that, to really, you know, express themselves and to find that expression in each other. And that's a very interesting thought, I think.
I do too. I think it makes you think a lot of Viktor and Krimov, who have, or I think, expressed it the most directly, of how completely alone they feel in their families, in their friends, in their workplaces, whatever. And it is, not to bring it back to Stalingrad, but an intense, meaningful truth they're admitting to themselves, that I think the war has changed for them in some ways. Like, it has made them more alone, but also even at the beginning of Stalingrad, when they were most of them, except for Krimov, were sitting down to a big party with all these characters, Mostovskoy, Sofia Levantin, you know, all the Shaposhnikova sisters, you know, everyone was there, and they were still, they had that sense of community, right? And then also, this, not only is it the totalitarian societies which repress them to a degree, and which is also increasing throughout this novel, but also the war has ripped that away from all of them as well, the forces of fascism. So, yeah.
And the reason that I extend and call it the Grossman GPT chapter is just a little bit of a funny between me and you, but what I see, and I still am working through this, this is not something that I researched necessarily, but I do find it interesting, just something I've been thinking on lately, is our sort of algorithmic age that we live in, and the way it pushes us, and the same sort of, I don't want to call it quite self-censorship in the way that a lot of our Soviet characters engage in, but that sort of striving for almost the middle, right? Where when you're doing anything on social media nowadays, a lot of people, it's just kind of chasing trends. It's trying to do something that you think that this mysterious almighty algorithm is going to push. And it ends up pushing a lot of what could be creative space into this boring, bland, very samey, copying trends, all this other whatever. And I know that because I spend a lot of time looking up how to make our Instagram do better. And it's so much of the same advice and so much of the same things being posted. And it's a shame that a space that could be used for like great artistic creativity is instead mucked up by just trying to copy, you know, trying to not even to iterate on what someone else is doing, but just literally copy it. You know, it's so interesting to me that that's what people will spend time doing, one, and two, what people will spend time watching. And as Grossman says in this chapter, really, right, it's what we're trying to do, what we should be trying to do, is exist in this sort of perception that has not existed before, and to bring something that has not been brought before to the world and to others around us. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, maybe lofty, but I don't think he means it in a very lofty way. He's not saying you have to be exceptional. Just by virtue of existing, you have access to this. All of us have access to this. It's a means of tapping into it and not exactly making use of it, but letting it arise, I guess. And yeah, I sort of see, that's where I sort of see that danger of. So, I don't want to be like a social media hater, like a boomer, but like that is the sort of I think like the easiest, clearest representation of what I mean when I say just, all creativity being funneled through an algorithm, right?
Yeah, well, not even all that. If we wanted to extend that metaphor out, right? When what we're talking about here is Grossman talking about us experiencing the world and us experiencing sort of the beauty of our own inner lives and realizing that it happens in everyone else around us and being able to share in that and the ups and downs and all of that, right? And the thing about when I say social media, but just in sort of the way our lives are organized now, right? Being less, for the most part, most people are less integrated into communities, or at least like entire communities, right? You're now in more sub communities, you're more interacting with more and more strangers. So even though we are in a time where you're still able and maybe even more able to technically interact with people, you're less able to kind of exist and understand the wholeness of other people because now it's being filtered through just a comment. It's being filtered through how they present themselves online, which is a curated version of themselves through, how they take their photos, how they speak, how they talk about their lives, what they share, what they don't share. And now you aren't existing when you, even if you have like a friend on Twitter or something who seems to share their whole life, of course they're sharing a curated version of their life. So it's in some ways impossible to live in the fullness of it because there's always going to be something left out just by necessity.
Yeah, and so what's interesting to me is what ends up being left out, what we deem unnecessary. And I think a lot of social media and a lot of how we present ourselves and how we interact online, it is really a process of trying to get rid of what we deem to be unnecessary. And I think the problem is that what Grossman is identifying is that there is a whole lot of life that is completely unnecessary. And quite frankly, you might say that most of life, the beauty of life, is the unnecessary. And yet we are constantly trying to cull that from ourselves. And that is, I do really believe that that is why, in part, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but just, that approach makes me feel unhappy. I can think of any number of things that. Well, in light of this chapter and these past few chapters seem really silly and unnecessary, but there are all sorts of things I do in life where I try to look for the most efficient way to do them because I'm trying to save time, and it takes what should be an enjoyable activity and makes it just not. And again, I think that that's what is, I think that's something that's at danger of being lost. And I don't know how to reclaim it really, because it's tough advice to tell someone take a less efficient route or make mistakes.
Right. Have you considered being less efficient with your life, not emphasizing the side hustle,
No, because
exposing the
I grew
more
up playing
vulnerable
RuneScape,
parts?
so the idea of me being less efficient is unthinkable.
It's too late for you, but for other people, maybe they can learn. Expose
That's what
your
I'm trying to help
vulnerabilities
them.
to
Don't
others.
play RuneScape.
That's the lesson of this podcast. Is anything else take away from Grossman? Do not open up RuneScape. It pretty much goes the real life. RuneScape, and there's a couple more steps, and then there's the Holocaust, and that's the end of all human freedom. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why it sounds silly to apply to modern current stuff to me in some ways, but
No, but
I do
I
think there
agree.
are some core things that are transferable, that being one of them. And I don't know, I'm curious to hear what other people think.
Yeah, no, I think it is transferable because I mean, if you're speaking like bellyaching about social media, I wouldn't. But what we're talking about here is less the this little tool is making life less real, but it's the whole way our lives are organized that makes it that takes that away. It's not just this little, it's not Instagram is doing it. Instagram is trying to fill a gap in the way that we are more alone now, in the ways that or even our cities are designed, in the ways we get to work, all these other things that these are trying to bridge those gaps and do it imperfectly. So I know I actually think it is really applicable because we're not talking about just small little things. We're talking about the way we organize our lives, which is ultimately that's what this novel is also about, the way we organize our lives or the ways we're not allowed to, that are just by a larger system we are cut off from.
Yeah, and that's what is really, I don't know, I don't mean to spend forever on this chapter, but I really, really, really like this chapter a lot, and it has given me so much to think about. Just the fact that we will look at the Soviet Union and say, ha, stupid. They were so unfree, how could they not know? And we'll go on and we'll, like actively perpetrate things that are like very, very similar in mentality, and we'll pat ourselves on the back for certain freedoms that I don't know, in some ways almost lead to our own unfreedom. Not quite in the same way as the Soviets, but I think there's really still a lot to be learned, and by sort of looking down on them as lesser than us for certain things like this is not really a very helpful way of learning those lessons.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement there.
But maybe we
But
should stop before we do like an hour.
I know before we do an hour, just being like on how we thought about how this applies to modern life. But we did have a couple I did want to mention after we recorded. We had a couple other people come into Discord yesterday to talk about chapter 48, obviously a very affecting chapter for a lot of people. So if you want to hear more or hear more reactions, would definitely recommend if you're not in the Discord, get in there and check it out. And other than that, I think that's all I had today, so maybe we should wrap it up there.
Sounds good to me. I think that means you will be hearing from us again soon.